Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about a prophetic word, several words, and a convergence of words. And speaking of that, convergence is definitely something, if you listen to convergence, and hopefully I'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch, that will help converge a lot of things that we're talking about from a lot of different prophetic voices to understand it. God's saying it aloud. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say this, that as I was saying earlier in the first hour is, and you got to hear it if you haven't heard it yet, because it's all going to connect and make sense to you, that the ships, the military ships have USS on them because it stands for United States Ship, and you have the Her Majesty's ships in Great Britain, and it represents your power. And we have ships now sitting outside on the west coast of Israel. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But, you know, to be able to fire shots and bomb a country that sits on the northern border of Israel, who is threatening to harm Israel. But what I said was, in 1 year ago this week, was that as soon as we're choosing our leaders, and you understand that, well, what does that really mean? It means that our motives were all messed up when we were choosing who were going to lead us. Israel had their motives all messed up when they were trying to choose somebody other than God. They said, we wanted a king like them and somebody to represent us that does what they do in their king. And of course, Samuel begins to be upset, and he feels like he's being personally rejected because God's form of government was being rejected, and he was in that form of government, apostolic prophetic government. And God told Samuel, he says, listen, he said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Mm-hmm. And if you have not yet heard SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, it's a prophetic word about our nation. And America was making a choice, and America made a choice, and now we're walking out the choice that we made. And there's the choice, the SOS stands for, is it going to be Saul or Samuel? Samuel represented God's form of government. Remember, God raised him up, and not one of his words fell to the ground because God gave him the words that he spoke. Mm-hmm. And then Saul was the king that God chose when they said they wanted a king. S-O-S. And this is important because, you know, I don't call myself a prophet. I don't do that. But I have prophesied. Mm-hmm. And this means then if we listen to what's going now, and begin to respond to it, it'll build your courage to have faith in the prophetic word. Uh-huh. That God is speaking. It's like, oh my goodness, we have direction now. That you can be confident. So, you know what? I'm going to quit second guessing and being double minded, and I'm going to listen and begin to do what God is saying now. Mm-hmm. To me, which is, you know, of course, humble ourselves in the presence of God, turn from our wicked ways, you know, repent and seek his face, abide with him. And he begins to hear us, forgive us, and restore us, and restore our land. But it's our Secretary of Defense, for America, his name is John Kerry. Mm-hmm. God spoke to me very specifically. Secretary of State, John Kerry. He's the one that's brokered this deal, and that's what the Secretary of State would do anyway, mm-hmm. with deciding with firing these shots or not into Syria. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm thinking, like, my goodness, God, you had, and God took me into a vision, if you would, and a dream. And I'm sitting here, you know, talking with Senator Kerry, and everybody counts. Everybody, what's happening is happening in our presence and what's going on. And he's the one that appears that has brokered this whole deal, this whole concept. And he comes back and but I'm looking at right here, and you can see this, it'll be on the VFN Torch, that he's having dinner with the King Assad of Syria. He's having dinner at a restaurant in old Damascus. I'm going to remember Damascus. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to read a prophecy about Damascus. And here we are. We're sitting out there in our ships now. We have four or five, if not more, huge ships. Israel, by the way, is only approximately 70 miles at its widest point. It's a small country. Mm-hmm. Syria sits on the northern borders. Damascus is like 100 miles away from Haifa. Haifa's in Israel. It's 100 miles. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, and this is where, you know, Senator Kerry's having dinner. This is where we're talking about firing these shots into Damascus, which is 100 miles. And Syria has the largest stockpile of chemical weapons, reportedly, in all the world. Mm-hmm. And Israel, as we speak, is issuing out gas masks, and people are buying gas masks. You have little children with this huge gas mask on their faces. Why? Because Syria is saying, America, this is what's being reported, America, if you fire any bombs or you attack us, we're going to attack Israel. And think about it. If you're only 70 miles wide, your widest point, and the Damascus, Syria, the city Damascus in Syria is 90 miles away, it would be nothing to be able to harm the small little 6 million people, 6 million Jews, in the small territory called Israel. Mm-hmm. And what we're taking, this phenomenal risk that's being taken prophetically, God's news behind this, I'm telling you. You know, people say, well, the Lord's not coming back for a million years. He's coming back tomorrow. He's coming back today. Let me tell you, prophecy is being fulfilled so fast. So fast. What I'm about to tell you is probably going to just you know, sad to say, who would have ever thought the day that America would have ships parked right outside facing towards Israel and Syria, not in defense like the Mediterranean cruises has happened for years where, you know, military goes 6 month med cruise, they would call them, and they would actually keep a watch out what's happening over there. Now we're actually pointing our guns, you know, in there. And this is, and remember the prophetic word, and you can find out more about this prophetic word to listen to the first hour. I'm not going to recoup it again, say it again. But understand this, that the prophetic word was this. When we were choosing our leaders, and this is what Americans were saying, the leadership crews were saying, God was laughing at their attempts when Hurricane Isaac blew right over and shut down the Republican National Convention. And the prophetic word came out that God, you know, God laughs. He's going to laugh at your disaster if you don't respond to my rebuke. Then immediately the empire, shots were being fired at the Empire State Building. Innocent people were being killed. And just September, a few, you know, days later, the other parts of Americans' leadership gatherings were going, we don't want God, and booed Jerusalem. They booed, understand, they booed having Jerusalem, acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is God. It represents God. You got to find out, like, Jerusalem's not God, but God says Jerusalem is his. So to deny or divide or do anything to this land is a direct assault against God. And so Americans were shouting, just like they were at the time of Jesus and Barabbas and the crucifixion about to take place. They said, hey, let his blood be on our own head. Mm. Americans were shouting, boo, to what God says about Jerusalem. And they went ahead and passed it against the people's will. Against their will. But the lady beside the chairman prophesied when she said, you got to give them what they want. You've made the rule. You got to give them what they want. And then when all the rules were laid out for the Democratic National Convention, then when they began, they said everything was laid out, now it's time to begin the meeting. It was a lady by the name of Vashti who began it. And it's like, this is huge prophetic things, church. We're looking at God's perspective. And you cannot, and we cannot blame any political party, and we cannot blame anybody in Washington, D.C., because that's 530 people that we chose to send there. It's representative government. Mm-hmm. They are just a reflection of our heart. You know, they didn't boo. They were trying to politically appease everybody. They're like Pontius Pilate going, how do I get out of this? You know, and the people were going, give us Barabbas, you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. And they're basically saying, crucify Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Right?
No doubt, yeah.
So it was a shot. This is the word that God gave me. A Hurricane Isaac that went right over us Americans trying to figure out how to choose a leader. The Republican National Convention, right before the Democrat National Convention, was a shot being fired over the bowel of America. Mm. And it was confirmed by the shot at the Empire, by the NYPD, where innocent people were shot. It was followed by booing God and believing what God says about Jerusalem. And now today, 1 year later, almost to the week of that word being given, Fox News is reporting, and these are the headlines. These are the headlines of the leader that we chose, who was ahead of what? He was ahead of the party that booed God, right?
That's right. Yeah.
It booed Jerusalem, you know. And this pastor did stand up from Ohio, and he says, you know, I stand with God, I stand with Jerusalem, and he said the president does as well. But the people were saying they didn't. And with that, the headlines read today. Today's headlines, 1 year to the day, it says, this is the headlines. It was on Fox News. Obama faces pressure to make case for shot across bow against Syria. Think about that now. Against Syria. Listen to all this. This is the headline that was on Fox News this morning. Obama faces pressure. That's what politics is about. It's about everybody's pressuring everybody and all that kind of stuff. But it holds us individually accountable. Obama faces, that's President Obama to us, but I'm just talking about the headlines say, Obama faces pressure to make case for shot across bow against Syria. Think about this. What was that? It was a warning shot fired across the bow of America. That's, and I'll laugh at your destruction. For a people who boo Jerusalem, where are the guns pointed? They're pointed in the direction of Israel. Israel's only 70 miles wide, approximately, at its widest point. It's not a big area, and Syria sits Damascus in Syria. Not even Syria is only 90 miles away from Haifa. Those are two cities inside of each other, which means they are like connected to each other with the largest stockpile of chemical weapons reportedly in the world. What is going on? And when you saw the booing take place at when the Americans were in North Carolina or whatever that was, the booings, it said Arab American Democrats. What was that? Arab American Democrats. And this whole Arab Spring is going on. And I'm hoping I can get all this in. I might not be able to get all this in. I got to quickly move. But you need to hear this. So that's what Americans were saying. They were booing Jerusalem. Understand that this whole, everything around Israel now, all these nations are in an uprising. Our current leadership said this is a good thing. They call it the Arab Spring. We kind of set the stage for it at the Cairo speech in the very beginning of President Obama's administration when he went to Cairo and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. Think about it. And who's fighting? It's reportedly that King Assad, his father drove out the Muslim Brotherhood and treated them very badly. And now it's actually the Muslim Brotherhood or their militant wing, reportedly, according to reports, the Hamas that's coming in there to begin to fight against and remove Assad. And it's like, that's what's happening all the way around it. But now, on every side now, every side of Israel is surrounded, every nation surrounding it right now. I mean, who would ever thought that we were going to be sitting out there with five ships now and be in America that surrounded one side? Who would ever thought that day would come? Wow. Before I share with you this, I want you to hear this report from CBN News about how the Muslim Brotherhood is all in our government now. All in our government. This is all going to make sense. Listen up. Reportedly, according to CBN News.
Before President Obama departed for Israel earlier this year, he took time to consult with Mohammed Majid. Majid has reportedly become a trusted administration advisor on issues ranging from immigration to counterterrorism policy. White House officials have praised Majid's organization, the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, as a pillar of the American Muslim community. But according to one analyst, ISNA's agenda is anything but mainstream.
We also know from the Muslim Brotherhood's own documents that this is a Muslim Brotherhood front, where they state it explicitly in one of their 1991 secret memos.
Ryan Morrow works for the Clarion Project, an organization dedicated to exposing radical Islam. He told CBN News that internal Muslim Brotherhood documents captured by the FBI name ISNA as one of 29 American Muslim organizations with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. The Brotherhood gave birth to both Al-Qaeda and Hamas.
It's also easy to tell what the Brotherhood's agenda is because they've told us in their own documents. which is they've said that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And most importantly, they say they want to do it at the hands not just of the believers, the Muslim Brotherhood supporters, but at the hands of the unbelievers, us.
ISNA began in 1982 in Plainfield, Indiana. A founding member, Sami Alarian, was convicted in a U.S. federal court of conspiring to support the terror group Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Abdurrahman Alamoudi also worked closely with ISNA for years. He's currently serving a federal prison sentence for funding al-Qaeda. Despite its radical roots, ISNA has expanded from its heartland base to the power corridors of Washington, D.C.
The remarkable thing is many of these founders who've been implicated in terrorism cases, named as unindicted co-conspirators in terrorism cases, are now consulting with the Obama administration.
Investigative journalist Patrick Poole says ISNA's founders were even given a tour of the White House in March 2013.
When it was closed off to the American public, they were meeting with senior White House officials, including the head of the Office of Public Engagement, who said that ISNA was the primary Islamic group that the White House does their Muslim outreach through.
It wasn't long ago that the U.S. government had a far less positive view of ISNA. In 2007, federal prosecutors named the group as an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorism financing trial in American history. The focus of that trial was an organization called the Holy Land Foundation. Its leaders were convicted of funding the terror group Hamas.
The Holy Land Foundation was spun off of ISNA, and here we have the United States government going into federal court saying these are bad guys, they're supporting terrorism, they're a front for the Muslim Brotherhood, and then as soon as they leave federal court, these are our outreach partners.
That outreach includes a role for ISNA in shaping America's counterterrorism policies. ISNA President Mohammed Majid is a member of a Homeland Security Working Group on, quote, violent extremism. ISNA also participated in a 2012 review of FBI counterterrorism training documents. The Bureau agreed to purge documents that ISNA and other Muslim groups found offensive or Islamophobic. Poole says the fox is guarding the henhouse.
We see a repeated pattern from FBI reports, from Department of Justice evidence in these terrorism trials, that groups like ISNA and their Muslim Brotherhood fronts, they're here to Islamicize America.
ISNA did not respond to CBN News' request for comment. As for the Obama administration, its relationship with ISNA continues. Earlier this month, ISNA officials met with Secretary of State John Kerry to discuss the latest attempt at peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians.
The White House is not embarrassed about this relationship. They publicly brag about the relationship and the fact that they're going to continue it.
And it's not just the White House where ISNA is making inroads. The group's interfaith office meets with Christian and Jewish groups around the country. And an ISNA leader even spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast earlier this year. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, Washington.
It's so important what you're hearing here, because when we come back from this break, I'm going to begin to give you a prophetic thing, a prophetic statement. I believe the Lord has just spoken to me, a fresh word that's going to make so much sense and hopefully empower you as it does me to say, I have the fear of the Lord in my heart. And dear God, I want to do what you want from me in this season. I want history to be spoken of me that I did what Jehoshaphat did. I humbled myself before God, did what was right before him, and allowed him to begin to defeat our adversary.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What's one of the most important aspects of a good spouse? Well, on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Gary Thomas offers this suggestion.
Singles have no clue what they face up ahead. They don't know the trials or the challenges. But here's what God says. I'm going to let you choose who you face those challenges with. I'm going to let you choose who you walk through those trials with. And what will matter most is faith and character, being filled with the Spirit, having the wisdom of Scripture, invested in your family. In the end, that's what creates the most rewarding life. Jesus knew what he was talking about with Matthew 6:33. If we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things that we desire Those will be taken care of if we keep our priorities first. The why really does matter to answer the who.
Hear more from Gary Thomas today on our daily 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. I am speaking prophetically today. I mean, God took me into a vision, a dream, and showed me the Secretary of State, John Kerry, who is the one who setting things up for our response to, as Fox News states it, that the president's being persuaded to take the shot over the vow, which is a prophetic fulfillment. And God is speaking. We need to listen to what he's saying. But this is the word. Understand that you know, hearing the whole context of this, that those who don't love God don't love Jerusalem. Those who don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who are religious, hate Jerusalem. Hmm. Not the non-religious. The non-religious folks pretty much hate anything that keeps them from sinning, that blocks that. But in regards to the ones who are religious, because the very presence of Jesus, it differentiates false gods from real God. Hmm. And because he's the only way to God. Every other way is a thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. And anybody that denies him is anti him, anti Jesus, of the spirit of what? Antichrist. They're right. Anti. It's not, you know, everybody's got this big picture in their head. It's like anti. It's yeah. Against Jesus. And when you're anti Jerusalem, you're anti God.
That's right.
You know, and so when I'm thinking about God, just had me pondering just over. Took me, and I remember when I was, and this is all connected, when I was in school, the last thing I think was on my mind at the time was school. I was actually work part of the day and go to school part of the day, and I thought life didn't move fast enough, and now I can only wish it would slow down.
Yeah, right.
And I remember them teaching you history. And I couldn't believe these tests had all these dates on it. And I would just, you know, I would gripe and complain. Everybody would gripe and complain. All we're learning is a whole bunch of dates, 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 dates. What does that mean? What does that mean? Just teach us what happened, and then we'll do our best with that. And what was really going on when you don't know dates, when we don't understand when things happen in the context of the timeline of life, nothing really matters. It doesn't integrate everything. But when you know dates, this is when you don't know dates, but you know a whole bunch of facts, you're good at playing Jeopardy, maybe. You're good at playing Trivial Pursuit. But in regards to having any wisdom and understanding how that applies to things, you don't even know. Mm-hmm. You don't even know. And when you know the dates, you start seeing like, oh my goodness, this was all happening at the very same time. And this was happening at the same time that was happening. And even though in my mind, these are all separate events, this is like a fabric being woven together about how we got here where we are today, how we're here, and how we where we'll be in the future. But not to know the dates, it's like having a whole bunch of rabbit trails, a whole bunch of roads that just kind of come out from you like a starburst, but don't touch each other. They don't have anything to do with each other. So you're nothing but just like you're like a Google search. You're like a Bing search. You know, somebody asks you a question, you crank it off. How it relates to things, how it relates to the fabric of society and where we're heading as a people and how we got here, you can't really talk about that, but you can crank off true, false, yes. Yes, this was his name. That was his name. But when you weave it all together with the dates, and so God began to speak to me last night, began to speak to me about Archduke Ferdinand. Archduke Ferdinand was in line for the throne in Hungary. He's a royal prince, and this one man who they didn't like his policies or whatever. These men came up and they assassinated him and his wife. And that was the first step, the first thing that happened in the context of how World War I began. President Woodrow Wilson was the president of America at the time. He got into presidency by saying that we will not go to war, you know, and he barely won the election, but that was what he told the people, we're not going to go to war, we're going to keep you out of war. And so World War I began with one shot by an assassin. And let me tell you where that shot was. That shot was 100 years ago next year. 100 years ago next year in 2014, it will be 100 years since 1914 in June when the shot that was fired that began World War I.
Wow.
Which out of that, out of the context of that, came the United Nations. It was called the League of Nations. Because eventually when America got in the war, because, you know, President Woodrow Wilson had a large government, he wanted to be, and you need to find out, and hopefully it's all linked if you're listening on the torch, that Woodrow Wilson, understanding his mindset, was he saw big government was the answer, but when everybody was in war in the world, nobody was buying our products, our gross national product, our tax base, that's all we had it pretty much at that time, was people buying our goods and services. And so that the funding for the big machine stopped. And so we went to war to be able to fund big government. And we were in World War I. How did it begin? It began with one shot. And so when you hear about Archduke Ferdinand, that was 100 years ago next year. And next year, 2014, is the year of the four blood moons beginning.
Yeah.
Which we can't even go there.
Mm-mm.
We are such on the edge of a precipice. It's a worldwide happening. And we as God's people need to be hearing the voice of the Lord, hearing what the Spirit says to us, the church, and humbling ourselves and responding and getting our life right. Listen, if you're already in shambles, if you're already frazzled already, and then all of a sudden a hurricane, a whirlwind comes your way, hang it up. It's over. You're not going to make it. But if you're already holding on and standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, if you're already standing firm and walking, and you've already grown and matured and hearing his voice, which you can begin today, go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and begin to abide now. Now, stop whatever you're doing and learn to hear the voice of the Lord and walk with him, because he loves you. He has a plan for your life. He will protect you. He will guide you. And if you're walking with him, you're okay with whatever happens, because you know it's what he wanted you to go through. and he can bring you through anything if you'll hold on to his hand. 100 years ago, next year will be the shot that was fired that began World War. World War. And we are right now, there are so many Ferdinand, Archduke Ferdinand moments that have taken place. I know when our president talked about the particular man that was set on fire, and John could tell me the nation that he was set on fire. He set himself on fire. He was a hot dog vendor. He set him on fire and set himself on fire in protest. And our president said that this is that moment. This is that moment.
Wow.
And what happened was when the Archduke was assassinated, then the country who sent the assassins in, then they turned against that country, and then they declared war on that country. And this country declared war on that country, which led to this country, and then Japan partnered with us and this company, and all, and it's progressed like dominoes. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you had two huge factions, you know, where you had fighting each other, and you had the Allied forces, which is France and the British Empire, Austria, Canada, India, Newfoundland, New Zealand, South Africa, United Nations, Russia, Italy, United States, Siberia, Romania, Japan, Belgium, Greece, and Portugal, and more, fighting against what's the German Empire, you know, Austria, Hungary, the Ottoman Empire. Hello. Mm-hmm. We just gave the Ottoman Empire an Iron Curtain. Turkey, the capital, the head of the Ottoman Empire, Turkey, who just fired all their generals. And you just heard who is partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood, who empowered the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I mean, he is Jehoiakim, bro. I mean, he is Jehoiakim. He is God's set man. And we don't need to look to man. We need to look to God and say, God, you are about to discipline us. You're about to put us in a time of captivity if we don't raise our heads up and begin to look to you and humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And the Ottoman Empire, we put a protective Iron Curtain. We did that. We sent them our own stuff. And as soon as we sent them the Iron Curtain, it was right after that that the head of Turkey put their generals in prison. It's reportedly they put their Fox News, CBN News reports that the generals who lead their armies, who always, every time that the radical Islam would try to push its way into Turkey, the generals would rise up and they would defend the Constitution. So the generals were always the issue in regards to they would defend the Constitution. Because, by the way, every elected official and every military person in America swears an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. And so that was normal for the military to rise up and defend the Constitution of Turkey. But guess what? They just put them all in jail. They arrested them. And now they're putting their people over to what used to fight against them to keep it, which means you're about to see an overturn in Turkey. The Ottoman Empire. You're seeing this whole thing come up again. Who was World War One? What was it? You had America, Great Britain, France, the whole kaboom that I told you about, the Allied powers, they call them, were fighting against the German Empire, the Austrian and Hungary Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and Bulgaria, and just there's more. And what came out of that? Let me tell you what came out of that. And this is prior to the technology we have. When you look back at war back then, you go like, oh my goodness, you were fighting with that? That's how you did that?
Mm-hmm.
But it was the greatest amount of people that have ever died on the history of our earth in battle.
Oh, wow.
And these two wars that happened so close together, not that many people have ever died in a world war because it was always like compartmentalized battles. But it was reported that over 5.5 million died in the Allied forces. Over 4.3 million died in those that the Allied forces were fighting. Over 12,800,000 people were wounded in the Allied forces, and 8 million were wounded in the military forces. Now listen to this. Missing in the Allied forces, which is the side we're fighting, it was 4 million.
Wow.
Were missing. 4,100,000+ and missing on the opponent side in the world, you have these two powers, was 3.6 million, over 3.6 million. I mean, you're looking at just, my goodness, it was just huge. If you add all those numbers up, and when you go back and you listen to the prophetic word that was given 1 year ago this day, I talk about men still want to rule the world. That's what I talked about. Men still want to rule the world. And you hope it's not true, you wish it's not true, but it is so true. I really sense in my heart right now, there is groundwork being laid for world rule. And in that world rule, And this is what he says prophetically in his word, that there'll be a you can't buy or sell without this particular mark being able to be handed out. But I really believe that they're fashioning and honing a position. I'm not talking political here. I think they're fashioning and deciding who they want the governor of America to be, which we now call the president. Because President Bill Clinton is going to be considered president of the world, along with other elders. There's a reason why George Soros invited, had President Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's wedding at his daughter's house. He says that these walls should come down, these dividing walls, these borders need to come. We need to ease down, gradually down America and the European Union. Ease it down. You know, the people, there are going to be some people hurt, and then bring it back up and just have a new form of world government. And you remember the elders. You looked at Branson. You looked at Jimmy Carter. You looked at Bill Clinton. You looked at several others. There's like seven of them that call themselves the elders of the world. And it's like they're thinking world now, because you have the technology and the ability to manage, and men think that they can do things better. And anytime man talks about utopia and our own strength, it ends up being something like happened in Germany, because that's exactly what Hitler said. He wanted to be able to be able to provide for everybody and, you know, make sure, because they're going through this huge economic crisis and that type of thing. And it ended up with just persecution and JJ too. The Jews and the Christians being killed. And so here we are. You know, what has taken place? Well, here, prophetically, when you think about the headlines, the whole world is waiting for, with all these, I mean, many, many Archduke Ferdinand moments have taken place. I mean, come on, that was just one person who was in line for a throne. He wasn't even somebody that had a throne. They ended up progressively, like dominoes, people declaring war on each other, and now here we are pointing our guns at Damascus. It's reported that Damascus is where we're pointing our guns at. Well, let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 17. Let me read to you. Remember, we have a Muslim Brotherhood integration into our society, into our homeland security, what we just heard reported, that we have the daughter of one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood that was assistant to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, whose husband is running for the mayor of New York, where the United Nations is located. Uma, who wasn't vetted, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, who's now stepped out of office. I mean, vetted, in other words, like, check her out. Well, she was the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood, big leader, mother and father. And now we're positioning ourselves. Our battleships are on the, now Israel's totally surrounded by radical Muslim sympathizers who do not feel that Jerusalem is what God says it is. And by the way, the Dome of the Rock, you got to understand, you don't know until you've been there, that the enemy's been trying to claim it forever. But I got good news for you. So our guns are pointed at Damascus. They're pointing at Damascus. And this is what Isaiah 17, I'll do my best to read it. This is a prophecy against Damascus, Syria, which is it's what touches the top of Israel. He says, see, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruin. The cities will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down, and no one, with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim. The rural power of Damascus, the remnant of Aram, will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. In that day, the glory of Jacob will fade, and the fat of the body will waste away. It will be as when the reapers harvest the standing grain, gathering the grain in their arms, as when someone gleans heads of grain in the valley of Ephraim, yet some gleaning will remain, as when the olive trees are beaten, leaving two or three olives in the topmost branches, four or five of the fruitful boughs. declares the Lord, the God Almighty. In that day, people will look to their Maker and their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look at the altars, the work of their hands, and they will have no regard for Asherah poles and the incense altars their fingers have made. In that day, their strong cities, which they left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thicket and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. You have forgotten God, your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, that's capital R, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on that day you set them out, you make them grow. In the morning when you plant them, they'll bring their bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing. In that day of disease and incurable pain, woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. Listen, you cannot stand like America just stood against Israel and Jerusalem. We are pointing our guns at Damascus, but our hearts are pointed against God and against Jerusalem. The enemies, when you think about the enemies of Jerusalem, the enemies of Israel are enemies of God. And it just makes you think about the fulfillment of Zechariah 12, when he says, all the nations around her will be a trembling cup. See, Jerusalem's enemies will be destroyed. That's what he talks about. And this is the prophecy, the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Just so you know, if you're worried about how Israel's going to turn out. He says, the Lord, this is Ezekiel 12, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, who forms the human spirit within a person, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the nations surrounding peoples reeling. Let me say that again. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Think about reeling. Like, it's just like, you know, all of a sudden it's just going to be like, bam, like some gamma ray or something. Bam, God's just going to touch it. And all these people that are laying their hands on Israel, including, you just heard us boo him. Mm. We just heard us boo it. So are we a friend of Israel? We're not a friend. We are. Personally, I am. But are you? Are you silent? He goes on to say, Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her. Think about this. When all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, you have haters in Syria, haters in Lebanon, haters in Jordan, haters in Iran. You have haters in Iraq. You have haters in Egypt. You have haters in Libya. Now you have haters in boats outside on the western coast. Who is the commander-in-chief of those boats? Who's the one that can say fire? Hmm. Who is the one that the Fox News reported just this morning that he is being pressured to decide if he's going to fire the shot over the bow of his boat? That's us. That's our leader that we chose, that America chose. On that day, he says, Ezekiel 12:3, on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, and that's where it is right now, bro. That's where we are. He says, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. for all the nations. In other words, you can do all that you want to do, but this puppy ain't going nowhere.
Mm-mm.
And all who tried to move Israel, all who tried to move it, will injure themselves. What does that mean? We're about to be injured. If we don't humble ourselves and get back to our roots and who we are before God, and that God lifted this nation up and God could take it down, we're going to be injured with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be injured with the rest of them. As a matter of fact, you can see on the VFN Torch, and hopefully it's made available if you're listening to this, in regards to every time we did something wrong with Israel, something wrong happened to America. Well, this is the biggest wrong ever done from America. It started at the Cairo speech, and it led all the way to today. We created the Ring of Fire. We were instigators in this Ring of Fire that we called the Arab Spring. And he says, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations, and all who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its raiders with madness, declares the Lord. In other words, you're going to lose your mind. When he says, I'm going to strike every horse with panic, that means everybody that has power, that has the ability to do something, they're just going to panic. And what happens? It'll be just like what happened with Gideon. You start seeing people turn in on themselves. And they just start, their mind goes crazy. It's like, dude, you're shooting, this is friendly fire. You know, all of a sudden you'll watch the enemy just turn in on themselves. I will keep watch, a watchful eye, he declares, over Judah. And I will bind all the horses of the nation. In other words, I'll bind all the power of all the nations. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. In other words, all of a sudden the eyes, we're looking real close to the veil being removed off the eyes of the Jews. They're surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
They're surrounded. We're one of them. You can't say those ships got there on the wind from the mouths of people when they utter the words, boo, and it blew the sails of those ships over there into the Mediterranean, backed by the wind of hurricane laughter. He said, they will consume all the surrounding people right and left. Think about this. He says, on that day I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot and a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume all the surrounding people right and left, and Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. Imagine you had a big pot and it's in the fire. That means that it's filling the heat. That heat's going to cause Israel to look up and say, how are we making this thing? It's God's how you're making it. And everybody around is being consumed by this fire that God's allowing to happen. And they said, the Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest amongst them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. It's Michael, huh? Mm-hmm. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. On that day, I will set out to attack all the nations, destroy all the nations that attacked Israel. And then he says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look to me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for their only child, a grieving bitterly over the loss of a firstborn. On that day, the weeping of Jerusalem will be as great as the weeping of Megiddo, the plains of Megiddo. The land will mourn. Each clan by itself with their wives will mourn. He goes on to list all of those. In other words, Israel's going to be saved, not only saved from a natural battle, but they're going to be saved by the Messiah because they're going to see him. When they see him, guys, ladies, you're looking at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in Joel chapter 3. And this is what he says. And that's why I said you need to go back and you need to listen to the word that was given from the VFN Dream Center about Jehoshaphat. He says, in those days, at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, the people of Israel, because they've scattered my people amongst the nation and divided my land. America is not going to be held harmless for what we just did and what we're doing in this ring of fire. Are you crazy? You can't blame that on a person or Washington, D.C. We put those people there.
Right.
It's us. It's a government by the people and for the people. Granted, you may have been too lazy to get involved, but your indecision and your lack of participation put them there. And we will be judged on how we treated the land and people of Israel. And look how we're treating them at this moment. That ring of fire was led by a speech at Cairo. The Cairo speech. And I prophesied about it on VFN radio. Is America the state of the nation? The state of the nation. Also, you can see it on VFN TV. And then he goes and says, they cast lots for my people and traded my boys for prostitutes and sold my girls for wine and drink. Now, what we have against you, Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Phoenicia, listen to me. Are you repaying me for something I've done? If you're paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return it right on your heads. God is going to begin to judge those who've actually come against the apple of his eye. You see, when you don't stand for Israel, you don't stand for God. God chose Israel to show himself mighty. So to diss what he's using to show himself mighty is to diss him who is mighty. To take the apple of God's eye and stick your ship in it. Understand that we right now are part of surrounding. We created the fire, the ring of fire, the Arab Spring, and understand the radical Islam, Muslim Brotherhood, anti-Jerusalem, anti-Jesus as the Son of God. And you gotta hear Muslim Brotherhood 101 to understand all this, where we're talking, so you can know what you're talking about. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We surrounded Israel with that. We orchestrated that. And what you have behind that, because, you know, God gives people over to their evil intentions, is obviously somebody's wanting to rule the world. They have a whole plan and a scheme using technology to be able to make one world type economy or something of that nature. But they don't realize that they're actually being used to fulfill end time prophecy, and all of a sudden destruction is going to come upon them.
All right.
But we as the church, we're sleeping. We actually think the people that we hired, the 530 people that we hired to go to Washington, D.C., it's their fault. 300 million people are thinking that the 530 people in D.C. that we hired to go there, that we chose to go there, and we pay them out of our tax dollar base, that's their fault. It's not their fault. We chose them. Have you called them? Have you talked to them? Have you informed yourself? They want to know. They have town hall meetings. Share your heart with them. Share this with them. Send this to them, your leader. Let them hear. Let them see the post on the VFN Torch with all this in one post. You'll have everything right there. You can just send the just powerhouse post filled with the prophetic words of knowledge to be able to give them an anointed word that helps them make a right decision in the fear of the Lord. Because that, for example, that mayor of L.A., I mean, when he paused right there, that was his moment, man. That was his moment before God. He could, because he knew, and I don't know whether it was political or what. I mean, obviously, politics is involved in it. But he's going to stand alone. God doesn't see him as this particular party or anything. He sees him as a human being creating the image and likeness of God. That was his moment to go, you know, guys, either you're going to bring God back in, Jerusalem as the capital, and we're going to acknowledge God, or I'm out of here. But he didn't. And then the lady prophesied and said, we've already made the rule. They've already done it. You got to give them what they want. Mm-hmm. And then once they got all the rules together, Vashti began the meeting. It's time for us to hear the wisdom crying aloud in the streets. To hear it crying aloud in the streets. Out in the open, wisdom cries aloud. She raises her voice in the public squares. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you simple people continue your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools' knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings. But since you have refused to listen when I called, and no one paid attention when I stretched out my hand, and since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelms you, then they will call to me, and I will not answer. They will look to me, but they won't find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept the advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. And the complacency of American church, the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.